Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today in this eighth week, I think, of lockdown? Today, we're continuing our theme looking at connection and how important it is to be connected. If you remember, first we looked at the power of connection. Tony last week reminded us how important it is to be connected to Jesus, the vine. And today and next week, we're going to be thinking about looking at connection outward. Today's the beginning of Christian Aid Week, and we're thinking about our connection to the world. We are global citizens. And at the beginning of Christian Aid Week, it's a good reminder that we look outward. And perhaps we've forgotten a little bit about that in the past few weeks, when everything we hear on the news is about coronavirus in our country. I can understand why that is. But we're global citizens, and this current pandemic affects everybody, not just Europe, but the whole world, as we have seen. Christian Aid Week has always been about how we could be good global neighbours. Asking ourselves how we can extend love that does not fail to our neighbours near and far. And that's the most important this year than it's ever been. It will be a very different Christian Aid Week this week. We may be used to pictures like this. Collectors with buckets and familiar red envelopes. So many of us have done that in the past. But obviously, life doesn't look like that this year for those of us who support Christian Aid. If today you don't actually know anything about Christian Aid, they are a UK charity that works in 37 countries, helping people regardless of religion or race. A partnership of people and churches and local organisations committed to ending poverty worldwide. As you'll see from those stats on the screen, they help 1.7 million people. It's a people power organisation sustained by volunteers and churches all over the UK. Look at this picture of hands being washed. We're doing a lot of that at the moment. And we're fortunate in the UK to have what we need to do that. We have soap. We have hot water, we have fluffy towels, and some of us even have antibacterial hand gel, if you can find it. We don't have to travel far to get clean water with which to wash our hands. In my house and garden, I have, wait for it, 9 different places that I can wash my hands, if you include the 2 garden taps. 9. That's amazing. Christian Aid are asking us to connect to our global neighbours who don't have what we have in the face of the coronavirus. Neighbours in refugee camps and living in cramped conditions. Neighbours without adequate hand washing facilities. Neighbours who face the devastating impact of coronavirus with even less of the medical resources that we struggle to access here. Today, when I think about how difficult it is for some people around the world in the face of coronavirus, I'm even more thankful for our National Health Service. But it shouldn't surprise us that the world's poorest people are the most vulnerable in the face of COVID-19. They are less resilient, have less access to healthcare, and are less able to weather the economic impact. Just a brief look at this next slide shows frighteningly how much less access to healthcare provision our neighbours in Africa have. I read these statistics that Christian Aid sent me, and it stopped me in my tracks. They're facing a £6 million drop in income this Christian Aid Week, but they still have the same commitment to support people in poverty and need wherever they are. Just look at those stats. In South Sudan, 4 ventilators, for 11.5 million people. In Malawi, 7 ventilators for 18 million people. In Sierra Leone, they have zero, ICU beds. In Nigeria, they have 350 ICU beds. But for 195 million people, I don't have words to describe how I feel about stats like that. Our neighbours. We are global neighbours. And Christian Aid want to make an impact this week, even from this place of lockdown. I'd like to read you a Bible reading. And it's about unity. It's from John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26, and the words will appear below. Jesus prays for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you've given me, because you love me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. They are awesome words. In that gospel reading, Jesus is praying for you and for me. He's praying for us in West Kirby or Eastern or wherever we're worshipping him from today. He's praying for our global sisters and brothers and family. Get your head around that. Jesus is praying for us. Those words were said possibly minutes before Jesus would be betrayed by Judas. The next day he would be crucified. And John records this final prayer, a prayer for us, a prayer for every Christian in history. Jesus prays for us. And Hebrews 7, 24 to 25 says the same thing. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. He's praying for us, interceding for the church, wherever the church may be found. So what does Jesus pray for in this message from John's gospel? The first is oneness. Oneness. Jesus' disciples come from many different backgrounds. Some were fishermen, one was a tax collector. They were a bunch of people, ragtag, bunch of misfits in some cases. They had different temperaments, they had different abilities. Peter, as we know, was impetuous and fiery. Thomas was loyal yet cautious. They were all Jews, and soon God would be calling non-Jews or Gentiles into the church. Today we've got different people in churches. We have different races and colours and ages and genders and jobs and abilities and temperaments. What unites us? Well, perhaps the only thing many of us have in common is Jesus and our faith in him. Earlier on in chapter 15 of John's Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples that they need to be rooted and connected to him like branches attached to a vine. Tony focused on that last week. Now, Jesus uses the illustration of his unity with God the Father as an example of the unity that he wants the church to have. And that's unity and oneness locally, in our own churches, in our fellowship groups, in our local congregations. It's unity and oneness in our working with other denominations ecumenically. It's unity and oneness with believers and churches in this nation. And it's unity and oneness with believers around the world. It's a call to connection through unity. And that connection is because of Jesus. Rooted in our relationship with God. Rooted in our relationship through Jesus. Verse 26 says this: I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Jesus is talking about the continuing revelation of God through Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit. If we're to take this last prayer of Jesus seriously, we should remember that it's the love of God living in us, those who believe. That's the glue that holds us together. The love of God and the glory of Jesus bind us together as believers, as churches. So Jesus prays for oneness among his believers. And one of the reasons he prays that is so that we will be united in outreach. Earlier that evening, Jesus said this to his disciples. It's from chapter 13. A new commandment I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. How's our loving one another going in this time of lockdown life? And so the challenge today at the beginning of this Christian Aid Week is not just to love those who are local neighbours, but to love those who are global neighbours. Jesus said that loving other believers is a new commandment, an important one, because that love was one of the most important ingredients of the early church. Unity and practical love reach out to a world that is divided. And I know the church does that in many different ways, in word and in deed. I see love being played out in both my congregations, through conversations with others when we share of the love that's changed us in Jesus, to events that speak about faith where we can invite non-Christians too, to practical things that connect people to the love of God through us answering a practical need, be it supporting the food bank or partnering with charities, or when we campaign for the world to look different. That's us loving our neighbours near and far. Our oneness is an outreach to the world. Christian Aid has, for the last 75 years, shown a oneness in their outreach to the world. Many churches of every shape and size, of every denomination and type, are united in doing their bit to answer and campaign to end human poverty. And I've had that conversation many times on the doorsteps on Christian Aid Week. Christian Aid, do they only help Christians? No, they help anyone regardless of their faith. It's an organization run by Christians. They make a difference. They are us. Jesus prays for all believers to be united in love and in their witness to the world. We are connected across oceans and nations, and we're called to love one another. Christian Aid shows us practical ways to do that. And I challenge you this week, this Christian Aid week, to do what you can to hold our hands with our brothers and sisters in different nations. Give, advocate, campaign, pray. If you would usually put your money in a red envelope and send it off, or it be collected by somebody knocking on your door, do that. Send it off in an e-envelope. There's ways on the Christian Aid website that you can still give. I encourage you to do that this week. So today we're thinking about being connected to the world. And yes, it's Christian Aid Week, but there are other things that have been striking me this week. Look at this picture. It's a picture from the organisation Open Doors in their magazine that arrived in the post this week. Open Doors is an organisation that works with the church that cannot operate freely, the suffering and the persecuted church. And I was reading this week about one woman in isolation in North Africa at the moment. A woman who comes from a Muslim family. She's in the same situation that we are in. She is in lockdown. But she has discovered Jesus on Facebook. Who knew Jesus is on Facebook? As the picture says, social media has thrown a lifeline at the moment to churches who cannot normally be open because they're under persecution. That's another thing to challenge us with this morning in our prayers, in our giving, and in our action. Those brothers and sisters in Christ who are also being persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ, we are connected to them. They are sisters and brothers and family too, just as much as those people who will be the first people that we will want to have coffee with at church when every social distancing measure is lifted. Just think of what you'll want to do when the church building is reopened, whenever that may be. And just think about that situation, if that can never be the case, to be alongside your brothers and sisters in Christ, because you are not allowed to be. You are in permanent, forever lockdown. We are having a little bit of a taster of experience of lockdown life that some of our brothers and sisters in Christ have. But there are things to praise God for, that more and more people are discovering the gospel online in places where the church is isolated normally, that social media means that people are finding Jesus. And I praise God for that. They are us too. Today is a reminder that we are connected to the body of Christ. We can hold hands across the world. Just like that picture says, we are united. We might not be holding hands physically with people near or far today, but that's the challenge that encourages a response. How do we love our neighbour? How do we love our neighbour in nations across oceans? That's our challenge today, to be connected to the world at large because of our love for one another. That encourages a response in prayer, a response in encouragement, a response to act. May we connect our global community to Christ by giving, by praying, by loving as Jesus did. Let's pray.